He leadeth me beside the still water. It is a known fact that one of the greatest comforts to our psychological being is still water, calm seas. More than one time, many of us have been brought back to our senses. I mean, literally brought back to our senses. Our minds have calmed because of the calmness and the stillness of the moment. Wild people like wild music.
Yeah.
And you can go wild listening to wild music, right? God's people need to have a song in their heart. A song in your heart means that someone has put it there. A song in your mind means something has put it there. There's a major difference. A song from your heart will come from another world. But a song in your mind will come from this troubled world, from the most part. When the shepherd guides the sheep, leads them beside the still waters. Now note the words here. At this point, they're not in the water, they're beside the water. And leading those sheep beside that still water stills their minds and takes away their frustrations, calms them so they can then partake of the water. I've told you already that sheep cannot drink from rippling water. The water has to be still so they can form a vacuum and pull the water up into their mouths. Still waters normally are deeper waters. Oftentimes when the Spirit of God moves among us, everything gets real quiet and still. Now, there's a spirit in which there is the need for rejoicing and shouting, but that is a spirit of worship. That is a still, deep, running spirit that allows us to be calm in our spirits, but at the same time, rejoicing in the good Lord.
Yes.
Some of the most fearful times I've had in my lifetime has been in church services, when the Holy Ghost would move in and a spirit of fear would come upon us. But when obedience began, that spirit of fear moved away, and the spirit of rejoicing came, and God blessed His people with that spirit of rejoicing again. As the sheep are led by the still waters, they're not jumping and running. They're just walking along. Their minds are being calmed. And then the shepherd leads them into that water. Very often it's said that the smaller lambs would be running hither, thither, and yon to try to find a place to get in among all the others to try to get something to drink. And the shepherd would pick them up and take them and set them in a spot all by themselves where they could get the water they needed. I rejoice in this marvelous truth that God doesn't save us and leave us on the bank.
Amen.
But His good Holy Spirit not only leads us by the water, He sets us in the waters.
Yes.
And allows us to drink to our fill.
Yes.
And rejoice in what the Lord has provided for us.
Yes.
The provision of the shepherd in these two phrases, are actually these two sentences, He leads us to the green pastures and He leads us beside the still waters. Now we're going to find that He leads us otherwise later. But here we are being provided for as far as the grass is concerned. But the grass is of little benefit if we can't get the water. So the shepherd takes us into the water. And we take in the water in order to digest the grass that we have eaten. Now oftentimes, especially in the land of Israel, oftentimes the majority of the water the sheep got was on the grass early in the morning. and they'd eat that tender grass with that dew on it. And that would be the major amount that they could find, because there were very few places, really, to take the sheep by still waters. The shepherds would have to build dams to stop the water flow enough to where the sheep could drink from the particular rivers and branches and creeks and so on. And oftentimes wells where they would draw the water and pour it into troughs so the sheep could drink. I want us to look at three things tonight, and we're going to go to the house. Water. In the scripture, basically, water has two meanings. It is the Word of God and it is the Spirit of God. The Word of God is there to cleanse us. Paul said it is, we're washed by the Word in the Ephesian letter. And then James talks about looking into the perfect law of liberty. And I want to try to show you this, if I may. Looking into this perfect law of liberty. And what we're doing is seeing ourselves in that. The sheep, when he comes to the clear, still waters, and he begins to drink, guess what he sees? Himself. Now, most of them seem to like what they see because they stay there and continue to drink. But that is a doctrine in the Word of God that teaches us to look into the water of the Word, look into the Word of God, the mirror of the Word of God, and see ourselves. Paul tells us of our Lord's account of the Last Supper, that we are to examine ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Examine ourselves. Look at ourselves. And if we'll do that, then we're not judged with the world. God gives us the opportunity. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
That God would give us the opportunity to judge ourselves.
Yes.
And how in the world can we do that if we're not looking into this book so often? Especially in modern times. So often, the sheep are looking into muddy waters. Did you catch that? They're looking into something that is not the pure Word of God. James called it the perfect law of liberty. I was talking to a young man the other day, and he said, Brother Larry, said, I have all of these translations. He said, how many do you have? I said, one. I grew up one day and threw all the others away. I found out the water was muddy in all of the others. And I threw them all away. Years and years ago, I found out that God has given us His Word in this old King James Bible. And when we look into it, now here is my problem with this outfit that says I can't understand the King James. I dare you, go home tonight. Take your King James Bible, sit down and read chapter after chapter. You're going to find that most words in this King James Bible are one and two syllable words. You could read one and two syllable words when you were in the second and third grade.
Right.
My great grandchildren can read one, two, three, and four and five syllable words right now. And here's what they say. Well, it's hard to understand. You've got to be a brain dead idiot not to be able to understand one and two syllable words. Isn't that right, pedestrian? I won't go any further, I promise. But that's exactly where they are. Tell me that you can't understand one and two syllable words, and I'm going to back off from you. Because anybody that ignorant is liable to do anything. Right? Now let me explain something to you. It is not the words they have a problem with. It is the Word that brings conviction that they have a problem with. What they're looking for is something that doesn't bring the conviction. They want words that don't say anything to their hearts. And that's exactly what all of these muddied renditions, I even refuse to call them translations, these muddied renditions have come up with a means for people to read and not be convicted. This old King James Bible, you won't read it long until the Holy Ghost wraps you around the fence post. But you can read that other junk all day long, and just like you're reading the newspaper. Looking into that water, that sheep judges himself. We're going to call that clarification. That sound all right? Clarification. We look into the perfect law of God. We look into the book of God, and we see our transgressions, our sins, our problems. What is a mirror for? If I tell you, some of you will never look in another mirror. A mirror is for judgment. It's exactly what it is. Now, I question people's judgment quite often because when they go to that mirror, they judge themselves worthy of stepping in public. I understand that's a little high for some of you. Really, that's what we've done. We've judged ourselves worthy of going into public, right? That's why you look and you look and you adjust and you look and you look and you adjust. I think my wife could lose weight adjusting. Really? I put my clothes on. She wears hers out from the inside trying to get them adjusted so she can go out the door. And then she'll come and ask me, how does this look? My soul, after breakfast, if she's looked at it that long and she can't make up her mind, am I supposed to make up my mind at a glance? And is she going to agree with what I say? No. We look into the law of God. Just like that little sheep looks into that water and sees himself, we look into this book and see ourselves. I don't mind telling you, I don't really like what I see often. And often I judge myself unworthy of stepping out into public. As a matter of fact, I refuse to step into the public before I've had a talk with God every day of my life. Not just once in a while, every single day of my life. I'd rather not even have a conversation with my wife until I've had a conversation with the Lord. I'd rather not speak to anyone until I talk with Him. That's why I get up early in the morning. I don't have to worry about anybody else. Very few times in my life has my phone ever rang at 4 o'clock in the morning. Between the hours of 4 and 6, it is doornail dead outside for the most part. It's the greatest time in the world to have time with the Lord. Talk with Him. Look at the book and see what's wrong and get it fixed before the day starts. Amen. Clarification. Secondly, the water is there for cleansing. Do you know that the shepherd doesn't just take the sheep to the water to drink? He takes those sheep to the water to bathe. And a good shepherd will bathe his sheep before they leave that water. Sheep do not look like you see them in pictures for the most part. They get dirty quickly. I mean quick. And that shepherd puts them in the water, and with his hands he cleans those sheep. Now you are clean by the words which I've spoken unto you. I love that. Our cleansing comes from the Word. The sheep's cleansing came from the water. Our cleansing comes from the water of the Word. Yes. One of the greatest privileges we have as believers in Jesus Christ is the fact that we are cleansed by His Word. I've said so often, and you need to get this in your head. We ought never leave church the way we go. There ought never be a time we enter the doors of the house of God and leave the same way. By the way, you can't do that. Not if the Lord is present. You can't come and leave the same way. If you come and are confronted with your sin and you do not confess that sin, then you leave a rebel. But if you are confronted with that sin and you repent of that sin, then you leave that place repentant. I'd much rather leave the doors of the house of God repentant than a rebel.
Yes.
God's mercy and grace follows me when I'm a repentant. But when I'm a rebel, His staff and His rod follows me. Hello.
Yes.
Don't ever leave the way you came. You say, well, God never convicts me of anything. Then ask God, plead with Him to save your wretched soul. Our Heavenly Father will never allow us to come into His presence except there be conviction. You can leave home as clean as the very sun itself, and by the time you get to the house of God, you're going to need cleansing. It's just the nature, isn't it? It's the nature of sheep to stray. It's the nature of sheep to stray. Let's say that. It's the nature of sheep to stray. It's the nature of the shepherd to bring those sheep back.
Yeah.
Now let me tell you something. You'll get preached to and you'll get taught and probably have for years that it's up to you to get back. You'll never come back. If left to yourself, you'll never come back. It is the shepherd's responsibility to bring you back. Glory.
Yes.
Thank God it's not my responsibility.
Yes.
Boy, I wish some of these things would hit you like it hits me. Glory. If we ever once learn that it is the responsibility of the shepherd, we're going to talk about this namesake when we ever get there. But when we come to that, you're going to see that it is the shepherd's prime responsibility to get the sheep into the fold. Now let me just tell you that it's still the sheep's responsibility to stray, because that's what he does. Sheep stray. The shepherd seeks and finds. Thank God it's not just a seeking, it's a finding. It is a finding mission. So never, never leave like you came. Never. You're not going to anyway, but leave on the positive side rather than the negative. Leave having spoken to your Heavenly Father. 1 John 1:9 is a tremendous passage. If we confess our sins, the only thing that hinges on is our confession. How about that? If we confess our sins, He is faithful. I love that. He is faithful. He is full of faith to forgive our sins and to cleanse us.
Amen.
From all unrighteousness. You see, you're going to get cleaned up if you confess. You leave the house of God different than you came. You leave the house of God cleaned up. I don't like to be dirty. I just don't. I know people that evidently love or relish being dirty. I don't like to be dirty. Since I was a child, I washed my hands several times a day. I don't like my hands dirty. And I'm a mechanic. I'm a certified aircraft mechanic. I'm a small engine mechanic. I'm motorcycle mechanic, automobile mechanic. I get my hands in all of that stuff from time to time. But listen to this boy. I don't like it. And I have Gojo nearby.
Yes, sir.
And when I can, I wear gloves. Keep from getting my hands so dirty. I just don't like. Are you listening to me? Sheep don't necessarily like to be dirty, but they get dirty just by virtue of where they are.
Right.
Now let me say this to you, and you listen carefully to what I'm saying. You can't help getting dirty. It's going to happen. You're going to get dirty. In this world, you can't live without getting dirty. But you don't have to stay dirty.
Amen.
But you know soap is cheap. Amen. Now look at me. Listen to this boy. God Almighty puts us before you to tell you to take a bath. Did you catch it? Take a bath. As a child of God, your cleansing is cheap. Will you agree? Doesn't cost you. The price is already paid. The soap and the deodorant has already been paid for.
Yes.
All we must do is say, Lord, I'm dirty. I need a cleansing. I need to get clean. The water is for the clarification, and the water is for the cleansing. And then the water is for the comforting of the sheep. Remember one of the verses I sang? The waters cool flow, bathes the weary one's feet. Have you ever been by the creek side or the lake side or any body of water and just took your shoes and your socks off and put your feet into that water? They trained us in service that one of the best things you can do to refresh yourself is to wash your feet and change your socks. If you can find enough water to wash your feet and change your socks, you'd be surprised what it'll do for you. The waters cool flow, bathes the weary one's feet. We're travelers. Do you understand that? You're a traveler. You're headed somewhere.
Yes.
By the way, if you read the last chapter, you'll know where you're headed.
Right.
I never did like to start out on an assignment, on a journey, and not know where we were going. Had to do that quite often. Our orders were to take off, fly this particular heading for such and such a time, and then we'd get our orders. Sometimes it said, return to base. I liked it that way. But more often, it was heading in another direction. But it was that waiting to see where you were going to go. I didn't like that. Had much to say about it many times, but it didn't do a bit of good. They still do them that way. Thank God, I know where I'm going. And I know as a sheep, the shepherd is going to get me there. As weary travelers, we often need the water to comfort us. Why do we have funerals? Is it just to say something good and haul family and folks to get together and have a big meal and shout it out because somebody's dead? No. That's not the purpose of our funerals. The purpose for our funerals is to take the water and comfort the soul of those who are bereaved. And the Word of God passes understanding. The peace that passes understanding filters through the rafters of our soul and just kind of runs down amongst the floorboards, huh? And gives us peace in the midst of our hurting and our storms. It's not easy losing a loved one. It's not easy. But the peace that comes from the Word of God takes all of that hurt. And the more we stay in this book, the less grief we have. Hello?
Yes.
Hello? When mates would die in our church, I'd say to the one left behind, just take all of that love you had for that mate now and turn it to Jesus. And you're going to find out, listen, we had some of the greatest saints that have ever walked on dirt, brother, because they took that love and turned it toward Jesus and loved Him. Oh, the peace that passes understanding. The comfort of the water of the Word of God is beyond comprehension. I'll tell you right now, I don't understand it. And I'm going to tell you something else you don't understand. But you sure can enjoy. You can enjoy the peace that only the Word of God can bring. Here's the way Jesus said it. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Paul tells us to sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus rose from the dead, then those of ours, paraphrasing now because I'm missing the text, if we believe that Jesus died and rose, then those of our loved ones are going to raise with him. Right? So comfort one another with these words. Just remember, there is a God in heaven. Our shepherd will never let us stray and not come and find us and bring us back. People who say, well, I used to be a Christian, but I backslid. First off, you can't do that in the New Testament. I'm going to tell you right now, there's no such animal that happens to a New Testament saint. Backsliding is not even mentioned in the New Testament. Backsliding is an Old Testament term that deals with Old Testament saints. It can't happen to a New Testament saint because there's not one we slide from because he is in. And if he's in, you can't get away from him. Hello?
Right.
And it's his responsibility to get us in anyhow. Amen, amen, amen. Now, when we stray, and we do, why? Why do we stray? Because we're sheep. Sheep stray. Shepherds find. Right? Our shepherd will find us and bring us back. He'll leave the 99 in the fold and find us and bring us back. Every saint of God will come to the fold come night time. Did you hear that? Not a few, every single one. I'm going to tell you that you know if you're headed for the fold. If you don't know, then I think you need to scream for the shepherd. If by chance he'll hear you and grant you repentance. Weigh my words. I'm not mincing words. Weigh what I said. If by chance he will grant you repentance and save you. And I pray he will.